Okay, we're continuing with Pinkus's piece, the third shmooze that we're doing. We're on page Mem Tes. If you don't have the booklet, we gave out the booklet on Friday. It's on the table there. And we talked a lot about the idea of Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance, and how Tisha B'Av is one of those days. And we explained what the purpose of memory does. And the purpose, a person without a memory can only live in the present and has no, there's no schema to what he does, no past schema and not leading into any future schema. And if a person, just like, you know, couldn't be judged on Rosh Hashanah for only where he is now, because it'd be no past and no future. Similarly, Tisha B'Av is such a day that we have to realize that we're living with our, with a totality of life that spans history and not just the moment. We don't live just in the moment. Those who live in the moment cannot really have a relationship with Hashem. And then we were just in the middle of a piece here where we talked about the idea of yearning and wanting things. And there are two types of yearnings. There's a yearning, for example, we talk about the idea of a person says, I wish I could be like the Chazon Ish, versus he doesn't even yearn to be like Abaye and Rava. And that's not good, to not at all yearn to be like Abaye and Rava, because then we're cutting ourselves off from the past. So then he said there's two types of yearnings. There's a yearning to be like a particular tzaddik, which binds us very strongly to this tzaddik. And then there's another yearning that a person cries over the fact that he has no connection to that, to a more distant tzaddik, in the same way that he would want to be like a tzaddik that lives in his generation. So such a yearning, even though it's not a strong yearning, so to speak, but there's still some, as he calls, echut dach shel shayachus, a very thin thread of connection to those levels. And that's where he's leading into now. We're in the fourth paragraph on page Mem Tes. Ha'velus b'Tisha B'Av, the morning that we have on Tisha B'Av, a yeshiva al oretz, are sitting on the earth. Hiachut hadak hamakashes chayenu al beis mikdash sifarto. That yearning, morning, is for this thin thread that connects our lives to the beis hamikdash and its glory. Misha ainu misabel al beis hamikdash. Someone does not mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, v'afil einu shoev li'sabel Beis HaMikdash, and he doesn't even yearn to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. Areyu minutak kolil mimenu, he is totally separated, cut off from it. Ein lu shum kesher lav, he has no connection to it. V'ein shum sibu shachzer lav, and he's got no reason to return to it. Hatzar v'hayogon al achurban v'ashiva l'Beis HaMikdash mekashim osonu l'Beis HaMikdash v'nosim lonu shayachus lav. That pain and that sorrow over the Beis HaMikdash and that yearning for a Beis HaMikdash, that ties us, that connects us to the Beis HaMikdash and gives us some connection to it. V'kes sher zehu hasiba l'chazaroso shel Beis HaMikdash b'mehira. And that connection will be the reason why we will return to the Beis HaMikdash speedily one day. Kechol, and here's the point. Kechol sheha'avil yoser godel, to the degree that the mourning is so much stronger, Hashi'ifa yoser gedol, the yearning and the wanting is strong. V'hakesher yoser amitz, and that connection is stronger. Onu shayochim yoser l'Beis HaMikdash, we become more related. We relate more to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, keshimagia oisav rega noira, and when we come to that moment, to the most awesome moment of it, to which we asked at the beginning of the Shmooze on Friday, why, when we come to the most awesome moment, is that the time when Chazal said it's the time of Mashiach? Because we get to that moment, that moment that the flames burst forth and burnt our holy temple. And if, and the pain and the sorrow is so intense, and for what purpose? And it ties us with a much stronger connection to the Beis HaMikdash. Kesher Chazak says, such a strong connection, Hino hazman haroy v'yosel l'ledosu shel Mashiach. The time when the connection is so strong, that is when the time for the birth of the Mashiach is most fitting to occur. And that's the point he's trying to make over here. That we have to feel that connection, and the connection comes only when you feel the intense loss that exists. Next subtopic. Zman ha-churban ha-nechama. The time of the destruction, that is the comfort. Chazal omrim, our rabbis tell us, Shaturnus rufus ha-rosha chiresh es ha-hecha l'kaima shenemer tzion sada techaresh. The wicked general Turnus rufus, he plowed over the area of Jerusalem that was the hechel, that was the courtyard. And that was in fulfillment of the verse of the prophet that says that there would be the day that the fields of Zion would be plowed over. So let's try to understand what's going on over there. Now, remember, Yerushalayim, especially the Makom HaMikdash, is on a mountain. And you know, when you come to the coastal now, you go down. It's a lower level. You're not going up. Maybe in general you're going up to the area of Yerushalayim, but that specific area is that because Turnus Rufus plowed it down. So, you know, there's no mountain. So now what's the point? So Rav mi brisk bir al pi masha amr tosefta. The brisker Rav explained based on a tosefta that says, Sheina shechina chazeres at shita sahar. The shechina is not going to return to the base of Yerushalayim, it becomes a mountain. Ulechein chiresh Turnus Rufus. Therefore, Turnus Rufus plowed the courtyard and all around it. To take away any name of a mountain. To be no mountain. To be no way for us to come back to it. Next page. Migon echad shlita shemati raya nifla. But from another great rabbi, I heard another unbelievable idea. Chazal modim ke'echad me'charbona shel tisha b'av esa'uv d'shenicha shahir. When the rabbis list the five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av, so one of them is that the city was plowed over. Ulechura la'achar shenichar v'abayis, but once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, malanu es ha'mokom nishar kamo shehu o shehu nechash. What does it matter if the place is left the way it is, or if it's plowed over? What's the difference? You've already destroyed it. There's nothing left. But the point is, but if the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash stands as it were, and Jews would be able to walk by and see it in its destroyed state, person will see the destroyed Beis HaMikdash, he'll remember it, and then he'll be in pain and he will cry. And that memory, that painful memory, that ties us to that Beis HaMikdash. Ubekach yesh nechama, and then there's some degree of comfort. Why? Because ukashel Beis HaMikdash, he's tied to that Beis HaMikdash. Right? As long as there's something you can see it, some kind of a memory, even if it's a painful memory, but a painful memory is still a memory, and it still connects you to that. And Turnus Rufus, Barov Rishaso, and Turnus Rufus, because he was such a great Rasha, he plowed over the hechel and he made a field in its place. So he planted it with different blossoms and flowers. Nice little garden. Nice botanical gardens where once the Beis HaMikdash stood. And this even looks pretty. What does that say? Ha'avar ayin, the past just doesn't exist. There is no past. Ain't al malivkos. There's nothing to cry about. Achshav yesh olam chadash. We have a brand new world. Tzitzim uprachim bo v'tehenu mehove. There's beautiful blossoms, beautiful flowers. Let's enjoy the present. Umocha kesavar. He erased the past. Ubikesh l'natek es am yisrael me'avaro klil. He tried to separate the Jewish people from their past in totality. Ubekach bikesh la'avad mehem es ha'tikva v'asikui l'hashiv l'mes Beis HaMikdash. And with that he sought to destroy from the Jews any hope, any chance to return them to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the main point, is that mechikas ha-churban, erasing out and blotting out any memory of a churban, geruah yoser me'achurban atzmo, is worse than any destruction that can happen. Right? That's a real critical point over here. That's what he's, you know, the fact that people today, you know, don't want to remember the past. That's the great tragedy of the Jewish people. The fact that there are Jews who forgot the past. Every Jew who forgets and isn't taught about the past, of the past destruction. That is the greatest churban, because that's the only thing that connects us to our future. To ever bring back a Beis HaMikdash. If we don't realize how bad it is without a Beis HaMikdash, why will God bring us a Beis HaMikdash? We're happy with nice, beautiful cities in Thornhill, beautiful homes in Thornhill, beautiful flowers and gardens. It's so pretty to go up north, and it's such a pretty life, and that's all we can think about. And we don't think about that sad thing of this Beis HaMikdash. So there's nothing to yearn to come back. And it's no different with a person that we love passes away. So, you know, if you forget about them, then there's no hope that they'll ever come back to your consciousness. And there is a comfort in thinking about people. There is, you know, hearing nice things about what people did in the past. Why when we have a shiva house, people tell us about the dead person? Let's forget about it. Let's go on. Because it's a great comfort to know that, because remember, the real comfort, the real way a shiva is supposed to be, not the secular shivas. A real shiva, you talk about the mace, talk about their maisim tovim, talk about their good deeds. Their good deeds last forever. Those good deeds of theirs are creating their olam haba and are creating, you know, that olam haba that we will all share together. So that reminds us, that past reminds us that there was something real there. There's something that is meant to come back. And that is where the comfort comes from. And just to move ahead and forget about that person, you know, then there's that void that gnaws at you, that you don't really have any hope that it's going to come back. So therefore, you know, that wiping away the memory, and that's the whole idea in history, where the winning nations, you know, wipe out any records of the history, and you know, that's the painful part of the Holocaust deniers, you know, more so than the Holocaust. And that's why those people that we're hearing, especially the Holocaust survivors, hear about the deniers, that's more painful than the Holocaust they went through, because, you know, there was some reason for this Holocaust, and there were 6 million people, and those 6 million people did live and will continue to live one day, God willing. If you wipe out that memory, it's much more painful than the Churban itself. So, therefore, Zehu Ha'or Bimei Avela Seul. So this is now the light in the time of our mourning. The fact that we are mourning and we are unconsolable over that loss of the Beis HaMikdash, that means we know, you know, I saw in a different shmooz, I can't remember who said it, but the fact that a person, the famous question is asked, we know that a person mourns only 12 months for a person who dies. And beyond that, you're not allowed to mourn. And the question is, why do we keep mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, which was 2,000 years? So the answer is, a person who dies, we have to come to the point and realize they ain't coming back in this world. Mashiach comes, they can come back, but they're not coming back in this world. We have to come to terms with the fact that they ain't coming back in our lifetimes. So the fact they're not coming back, so now we're able to forget about them. At least forget about the painful memories. The pain that's there. We only remember the good, but the rest, we forget about it. Because there really isn't anything that's going to help bring them back. Similarly, I had the idea with Yosef and Yaakov. Yaakov never was consoled for the death of Yosef. Why? Because God gives us a special gift to forget about things that can't come back. So, but the truth of the matter is, since Yosef never died, Hashem never gave Yaakov the gift to forget about Yaakov. Because had he really forgot about him, so 22 years later when he would have met him, he would have been that happy. It would have been like, oh, you're here. That's interesting. You know, oh, that's nice. It's like that intense love would have faded. And Hashem never wanted that to fade, and therefore he never gave him the gift of forgetting. So the same thing with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is not something that's dead that ain't coming back. And the Beis HaMikdash return really only depends on one thing. It depends on us. And as soon as we really want it, it's back. So that's why Hashem never gave us the gift of forgetting the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the mourning is still a mourning until this time. So the light, this is the light during the mourning. The more we feel bad about it, the more it's part of our memory, and the more it can come back. So yamim bahem anu mechazkim es hakesher b'neinu b'Beis HaMikdash. On these days, the job is to strengthen our connection between us and the Beis HaMikdash. Im einenu mesugalim l'shayches atzmeinu klila l'avar. If we can't totally connect ourselves to that past, to say, wow, I wish I'd be like Abaye and Rava. Can't be like that, and that is what we should be. But we cry for the past. We at least tie a very narrow thread to it. And we cry over the fact that we don't even realize what the Beis HaMikdash was. That way we live our lives with a glorious past that once belonged to the Jewish people. And that's the real point of the morning. That's why Mashiach comes back on Tisha B'Av. That's why we get up in the middle of Tisha B'Av. Because at that point, if we've really felt the intensity of that loss, that means we've done a good job of connecting back to that past. So the degree that we've connected back to that past becomes real to us, and that will set in motion the future return of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, another topic. Hakesher la'avar gam b'Torah. There's a connection to the past, not only for the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a kesher to the past regarding Torah. Nikach es yesod hazeh. Let's take this fundamental point. V'nikshar so el inyan diyoma. And let's connect it to him. Now he's talking to Bachram over here, which is more related to Bachram. But for us, it also fits in. El bein hazmanim, to this period of time called bein hazmanim, between the semesters, between the terms. In yeshiva, you always get three bein hazmanim. You know, after Yom Kippur, you had a short 2.5 week bein hazmanim for Sukkot. And then for Pesach, you got a Bein Hazmanim. And then in the summer, you have a Bein Hazmanim. And different yeshivas have a different amount of time. Some at 3 weeks, some at 4 weeks. So he's talking to the Bachrum, obviously, about Bein Hazmanim. So, Niftach b'maseh shel musak hasmoda. Let's start with a story that gives us some idea of what hasmoda means. Hasmoda means being able to sit and learn Torah for long periods of times. As the rabbi said at Shal Shittis, there were people in Lithuania who were called the 18-hour guys. And they could sit at their shtender for 18 hours without moving. They'd start shachris, and they wouldn't leave till well after Marv. They'd be at that shtender either davening or learning. That's it. They weren't even eating breakfast, I would imagine. Nothing. It's 18 hours straight. That's hasmoda. That's real diligence. Okay, so he has a story about Hasmoda. Shnei Achim HaKadoshim, Rabbi Shmelki Minikelsberg, Rabbi Pinchas Balaflo. Rabbi Shmelki and Rabbi Pinchas, the two holy brothers. Hayolomdim Mechavrusa. They would learn as study partners. Shalokayam, not like today. Himlondu Lolo Hakbolasman. They learned without any time limits. Lohochim Lishon. They didn't go to sleep. Lohochim, nothing. They just always learned. That's it. Pamachas b'emslimunim. One time in the middle of their learning, halach Rabbi Pinchas lavi sefer loshav. So Rabbi Pinchas went to bring up a sefer, a book from the bookshelves, and he didn't come back. Ukasharav Rabbi Shmelki shachiv mismamea. He saw that his brother was taking a little too long to get back. Halachaps, he looked for him. Ve'emotzias achiv sharu ala ritzper v'yoshen. He saw his brother was kind of lying on the floor and fell asleep. It was probably like 4 o'clock in the morning. Hadn't slept in days. And I had a dream. It looked like he fell asleep. He bit Rav Shmelka b'achiv. Rav Shmelka looks at his brother. V'ro'el ki'yado munachas kikar mitachas l'rosha. So he sees, I don't know what this kikar is. But anyway, he sees his hands lying down under his head. Right? It's like he's using it as a pillow. Whatever. It's like this, you know. Tamar Rabbi Shmelka v'kar lachu. So Rabbi Shmelka wondered, and he called out his brother, Lama tayashem, what are you sleeping? If you had the ability to move your hand, you could have learned a little more. You're going to sleep now. What are you going to do in the grave? In other words, he's trying to show you what their ideas of asmata was. Like they were dying from being tired, right? So okay, so that's the story. You know, and there's many other stories we could share about this. No, but you know the famous. He tells you, listen, schlafen in Yenerveld. We sleep in the next world. We don't sleep in this world. There's no such thing as sleeping in this world. No such thing. Now you heard a story about diligence and learning. No. Umayitens, what's with us? Yeshon Uteretz. So we have an answer. Zehoyapam. That was once in the past. Hayom Zacheres. Now it's different. You know, no Shmelki could do it today. Hayom Yesh Musagam Achem Shalson. We have all different ideas of diligence. Diligence, if you can listen to the rabbi's speech for 20 minutes and not fall asleep while you're diligent. You know, it's unbelievable to sit through a drush and not fall asleep. To sit for 45 minutes at this class and not fall asleep, mamish, you're unbelievable, right? So you know what? Bishvil zeh yesh lanu Tisha B'Av. For this we have a Tisha B'Av. For this we have a Tisha B'Av too. It's not just for the Beis Hamikdash. It's for our low level of diligence in Torah learning. Gamim ein lanu she'ifu l'asmada she'kazu. Even if we don't have the yearning to sit and learn the way Reb Shmelki and his brother learned. But can't we at least cry over the fact and be in pain that we don't even have such ideals, any consciousness to be like that? Can't we, at least if we can cry, we can at least have some kind of thin connection to such tzaddikim? And if we just excuse ourselves, you know, backhandedly, and say, Nishtanas manim, times have changed, Ainz Shachon, this is totally not applicable to us. Anu Naskim, we've cut ourselves off from our fathers and our great great grandfathers who tie us to the mountain of Sinai. Because that's we have to remember what our connection is. We have to have that connection to the past that there was a Yiddishkeit that did this. Or whatever those ideas were. The common worker, like all of us, knew all the shas backwards and forwards. They got up 3 a.m. to do their Avodas Hashem. You know, that wasn't Reb Shmelki already. It was a common shoemaker. That's what they were. We're no worse off than them. To feel some kind of connection to this. This is what we mourn for in the Beis Hamikdash. We don't even have any of these frum ties anymore to what once was. So now how does this fit into our vacation time? So now Regesh HaShichrur, who nituk mimakor chayim, this feeling of freedom breaks us from the source of life. Tzuras HaGisha Levein HaZmanim Hu HaYesod L'zeh. Now this whole concept of our approach to this vacation period, this is this fundamental idea. Here's the point. If we say, now is vacation time. Right? So all of us are going to have some kind of vacation. It's a time of freedom. It's a smile on my face. Right? You know, the Bachar learned for Mamash, learned so hard, so long since Pesach. It's like 3 months. 3 months without a vacation. You know, half of April, May, June. It's already coming into July, Nebuch. You know, it's almost 3 full months I've been learning. I didn't have any vacation. Baruch Hashem. Have vacation. Big smile comes over his face. If you have that big smile, Zel nituk memochor ma'im chaim. That is breaking you from the source of the everlasting wellsprings of life. Right? Gotta remember, it's learning in Yeshiva Torah, that is life. I'm free from that. Right? But if we live with some kind of feeling of a connection to the past, with the knowledge where God says, I am Hashem, I've never changed. There's really no difference in the days of the rabbis of Chazal and our days. Even if the ideas of Hasmada, the greatness that existed in the previous generations, right? It's not our yearnings anymore. We should cry over the fact that we feel, ah, man, 3 months was hard. At least we connect ourselves to that source of life. This way of being throwing off the yoke. We don't mean about, you know, giving up Yiddishkeit. I don't mean like that. I don't mean to be a secular Jew. I'm a firm Jew, but I still took off a load. Etzem arega shel shichur, this concept of freedom. Mava nituk me'amayna novea. It creates a separation from that spring. That is that everlasting spring. Frey churban achurban. That's the destructions of all destructions. Necha rasha ha'ir, that the city's been plowed over. Mechika v'nituk muchlat mi'avar. It's an erasing and a separation totally from the past. Mitiferes Yisrael, from the glory of the Jewish people. Chayim ach shavuyim v'slo. It's living now and not any further. Let's just do one more paragraph. Zeh halacha l'maisa l'chol ben Torah. This is how it really applies to a ben Torah. Baruch Hashem b'nei Torah mishtad l'umot gam b'bnei hazmanim. Baruch Hashem, this yeshiva b'achim, we try hard to learn in between, in this vacation period. But the Midrashis, they gather themselves in the Bate Midrashis, and they establish times to learn. But it's a deeper point, in spite of what they do. If this learning is done from a feeling of freedom, God forbid, it's a separation from the root of the Jewish people. If this learning is to tie ourselves to the earlier generations, even though we don't have the yearnings of the great rabbis of the Talmud, but at least we cry over that we don't have this. And we do have a thin connection to the root of Torah. So, you know, so a bachur who has vacation, you know, okay, I've got the vacation. So, you know, I don't have to learn the mesechta that the yeshiva is learning. You know, certain things I always want to get around to, but it's not in the curriculum of yeshiva. I'll spend the ben hazmanim to learn nach and things that they don't teach in yeshiva. And he'll still put in his 10 to 11 hours, but at least he doesn't have a shir that he has to run to, that is the chazer over. He can learn other things, but it doesn't sound like the idea of freedom. The yoke is off. I can go to the 8:45 minyan now because I'm on vacation than the 7:30 minyan that was in the yeshiva. I remember the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the rabbis always said, you have the Venus money, you have to go to the later minyan? Because you're on vacation now? You come to the regular minyan you go to. Right? So, Zeh Lekach v'Yom Tisha B'Av. This is what we can get out of Tisha B'Av. Yom Shemot, a day that is a holiday. Yom Shalor, a day of light. Hakosher Osanu L'Tiferes Yisrael B'Avoram Afor. It ties us to that glorious past. If we're not tied to that glorious past, then there's no hope for the future. So the take-home message for us, we're all going on vacations, we're all going up to cottages and places like that. We're not saying you're not allowed to do that, but you shouldn't take a feeling of freedom with that. Say, I'm not in shul now, so I don't have to be at 8:45 minute we can daven, at 10:30 in the day, and I'm totally free from having to learn and all these things. You know, we got to realize, no, you're free from the other things. You're free from work. Baruch Hashem, you don't have to work. And if anything, you should say, now at least I have time to show God what I could learn now that I have the time to learn. If we take our vacation time to learn more and to have that hour of the day to bond with God that you said you didn't have any time the whole time, and we're up in the cottage to spend an hour doing that, then that's a good type of feeling, and that connects you to that past that we hope that we'll bring back one day. Mir Tzashem, Bimheri Amenu, Amen.